Did you know any of the men that were fired because of their interest in the union?
Well, we just used to hear about it because J&L was so big. You know, J&L is about 7 miles long. Their works. You could hear, but you work in one department and you don't know what's going on at the other department. Somebody gets fired over there and said, so-and-so got fired on it, but you didn't know who the so-and-so was. Mm-hmm. All the departments never got together, you know what I mean? Just the foremans only. Mm-hmm. Once a month they have a big meeting and they tell their troubles and what's new advancement and all that kind of stuff. But then you didn't know any of the workers. You didn't get to see any of them. There was plenty of them got fired, don't worry. But yeah, I couldn't remember no names or anything like that, but a lot of them got fired.
Were you here then when those 10 got their jobs back because of the Supreme Court decision?
I've been here since 1918.
Oh, okay.
So anything happened during from 1918 now.
You're here for it.
I lived here. I knew all that stuff, but I just don't remember what's what. But but we were here at the time. You talk about it, then later on, as time went by, you just forget all things, and never nothing like that ever been brought up anymore. Some of the stuff you remember, some you don't.
Mm-hmm. No, they couldn't hold meaning to anything, see? That's what the main thing is. Any secret meeting that unions had, why, they had their J&L, had their men right there. You know? And they'd get after them, then they'd go over an average, and they'd bother them over there. That's the story they used to be, anyway. I didn't go to the meetings or anything, so I can't.
How did J&L run the town in general?
It's what?
How did J&L run the town?
Well, because J&L had their hands in everything that went on.
They used to do a good job there.
But they were pretty fair, though, mm-hmm. to the town people.
How did they do that, though? Like, what was the connection between, for example, J&L and the Burgesses or the town council?
Well, I don't think J&L had anything to do with that. The council and everything was elected by the people here, but I mean, they did their own running. And just when you tried to bring something up, it was against J&L, or things like that, well, then you would soon hear about it, you know. They'd send one of their officials down at some of their meetings,
but they had their buses here, and it was always on schedule there. They had no trouble about the fact you was out there a quarter after, and that bus was supposed to be there. It was there.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a streetcar.
Yeah.
It came down from Plant 12, Hollywood, all the way down, right down to the down into the J&L Mill over here. And the woman used to be the motorman.
Uh-huh.
She drove that system.
Yeah.
The Hungarian woman, I forget her name. She used to.
Yeah.
Mrs. Black or something, I forget her name.
Black, yeah. They used to ride the streetcar or the bus. It was streetcar first, then it changed the bus system and it stayed there. People would ride back and forth. If you live way out in Sheffield, you can catch a bus out there and ride downtown maybe for a dime. I don't remember what we used to pay. Dime or 15 cents or a nickel, maybe some of them. I don't know.
Then they used to, from all the way from Burgerstown and them places, yeah. They used to, J&L used to send buses up there to bring them in there, and J&L paid half the fare and they paid half the fare.
Every day?
Every day,
mm-hmm. Burgerstown.
Mm-hmm. I'd say there were some good things that they mm-hmm. done.
There's a lot of good things, a lot of things that wasn't so good.
So they had the bus and streetcar, and they had the police. Did they have any of the utilities?
Well, no, I think J&L had they were in charge of the company houses. They were in charge of the land company. It went under a different name, but it was all J&L. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had their say-so in town, too.
Were any of the banks or building and loans, were they J&L people?
No.
No, they didn't.
Aliquippa. They were just Aliquippa. They were people from Aliquippa. Mm-hmm. Maybe out of town, too. I don't know.
Now, there are two names of firms that I hear a lot, and I can never tell if they're tied into J&L or not. One is P.M. Moore.
Yeah. Well, I think the P.M. Moore was tied with J&L. They had a certain say-so. P.M. Moore, that's part of J&L. P.M. Moore. P.M. Moore, you said.
He had the horses, he had the coal down there, come down in the chutes and delivered, and it was all in his... He's still under a lumber yard up
there. Yeah. I knew he was a builder, but he had coal, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other name I hear a lot is the insurance, Ruffner and Moore.
Ruffner and Moore.
Well, Ruffner and Moore was didn't belong to J&L.
I still have insurance through him. And quite a while since I had insurance.
Ruffner and Moore.
Been treated right all the time. No complaint.
Ruffner and Moore, I think, was a private concern. But through J&L, I guess, they had a little contact with them. You would never hear about it, sir. Mm-hmm. So Ruffner and Moore. Maybe J&L did have something to do with Ruffner and Moore. But you couldn't prove it.
I think they're both dead now anyway, aren't they?
Huh?
I think both, Ruffner and Moore, both passed away.
Yeah.
And Joe, that's the son, isn't it?
Yeah.
Runs that now.
Yeah.
Did J&L help the parish in any way?
No. Not St. Titus. If they did to the Protestant, that we don't know, but St. Titus never got any help from nobody. They're strictly on their own. They had their own people. They paid dues. And every Sunday, you pay dues and all, they paid their building off, their church off. At that time, we had a struggle. St. Titus got a lot of money.
From the people?
Yeah, all these years, you know, they invested a lot of that money. As years went by, the people was just making more money, they were spending more money into the church. But when they built that place up here at the city, what school is that, a Catholic school above, our dues for a couple of years, we paid $60,000 each year towards their help. St. Titus did.
See, they were supposed to start building a new church. And I think it had $100,000 or something all set on the sideboard. And Monsignor Zoner seen the bishop said, well, it's another school. We'll put two more floors of schoolrooms up there.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's when they killed him. He said, well, I'm going to tell the people. He said, I've promised him a new church. And he said, no. I said, he's the boss. I said, he's saying to do it. That's what you have to do. So they put the two more floors on it.
So part of this school building is new, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had an awful expense today. All them old ones had to be taken out. All new ones in there.
Now, is this where the church was originally, where the school was now?
There was a church here, and there was a downstairs there. They had a bathroom floor, and used to have passion plays and stuff like that down there. Used to have smokers down there and boxing and stuff like that. And
oh,
yeah, it's still pretty fine activities down here.
Oh,
And then where were the classrooms?
It was what?
Where were the classrooms for the school?
They were up above. See, they built one, 2 floor on top of that.
Wow.
But the other was all classrooms.
I know people talked about it, and I didn't see it when it
used
to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, that pretty near killed him, though, when he had to do that.
Yeah. In the first place...
It went through.
In the first place, Father Zonder didn't want the church stopped there. He wanted the church where the where the Krogers used to be, in Sheffield.
Farmer's Field, they used to call it. The ball field there. Everybody wanted to see the ball games.
All that ground up there was owned by a Protestant. And that would have been a dandy place for St. Thomas Church. It would have been all level. If he could have built a big church, they wouldn't sell. People wouldn't sell. So then they discovered about this place that they built here. When they built this church over here, I was on the church committee at that time for 6 years. I'm telling you, we had some rough time. You had to go out, try to talk to the people, try to get money off them, help the building and loan, we used to call it. All that stuff. We used to have a word come in and tell you, did a lot of work.
You know, Parish House used to be over there. It used to be like a little playground they had there.
Oh, that's where the playground was. Where did the priest live in?
The what?
Where did the priest live at that time?
They had Yola. It's tore down. They tore them down. Where the church is at.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. They built the church.
There's 2 homes there tore down there. Mm-hmm.
Well, they owned 2 or 3 homes up here, too. We owned this.
Oh, weird. This wasn't as big as it is now. It was an addition put on here.
Well, did the church own both this home plus the other house that is now the convent? The
church owned all that. See, they invested their money. That's how they made money. So they got money.
Now?
Sure they have money now. Mm-hmm. How could we be letting money out to these in all those places. Mm-hmm. I know that's what we call a parent share program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know 2 years in a row we give them $60,000 each year. The bishop demanded that was the church was assess that much money. And we had to give it to them. All the bishops, the boss. But he says, go.
I don't have any more questions in particular. Are there other things about the 30s in Aliquippa that you would like to say?
Well, I know Mr. Derrick, the young fellow that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He used to help a lot of them up. Pay a coal bill and tell him to get a load of coal and he took care of it and stuff like he didn't want it.
He was the undertaker, Mr. Derrick.
Uh-huh.
That's his son.
I mean, a lot of kids. I know when he passed away, I was up at the funeral at the cemetery and they used to have a tent there they put up in. They haven't got that now, it's stationary now. But it was raining and the water's coming down on this one fellow, the colored fellow's head. And I told him to move over. He says, I don't mind getting wet for this fella. He says, he done me a lot of cold he brought to me when I was freezing. He says, and he just, that rain was coming right out of his head. But he wouldn't, I mean, things like that really is impressing.
Things like that had happened, went on, but people wouldn't recognize it. I mean, it doesn't enter your mind, for what certain people did. It was on.
But he would never mention it to anybody.
You know. No public. It's all did and did quite. Mm-hmm. Nobody would know about it. Just the people that knows that did the help. But I know Mr. Legg did a lot of help.
What about for when he had funerals and people were having hard times? How did they pay him?
Well, that's something I don't know.
That's something we never did understand. But he got paid somehow or another. Maybe on some kind of plan that he pays so much, you know, until you pay it off. Some people. Things like that happen. That's how you get it to bury it.
Well, even like today, even you get a pauper's funeral, what they call a pauper's funeral. Maybe it's $90. I don't know what it is today, but the whole thing is just weren't allowed to spend more than $90. The state paid for it.
Is there anything?
You know, things that have little things like that that happen after all the years went by, you wouldn't recall them days. It's pretty tough. Only something big that something real, something really happened, something that would come to your mind, you know. If I lend you some money or I did you some good at those days, that's forgotten. You don't know that. You don't remember because of...
Yeah, the older you get, the less you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, he's over 82.
Are you really?
Yeah.
And I'm going on 79.
I never get old in this parish. Since I've been in Alacrova since 1918. So you know how old that is.
Mm-hmm. You can now know being a Muslim are all old men.
Pardon me?
Down at the bingo, the workers, we're all the older men that on that mm-hmm. pension and you retired.
You couldn't get no young fellow to work. Always the old same way. At the present time today, it's the same way.
And we've been doing this for years, way back.
I've been working on
it. And enjoying it, too.
So doggone long, I forgot how many years I did work for the church.
Longer than you worked for J&L, I bet.
Yes.
Oh, that's what else I wanted to ask you. Did J&L take you out to vote when you were working there?
In those days, yes. We used to haul people. I know myself. I run the car myself. Drive people to go and vote.
Yeah, you, the superintendent, would be there as you go out in the car. And don't forget how your bread is buttered.
Better vote Republican or you get shot.
But they didn't know how you voted, though. But and still, he let you know that you should vote for J&L because you worked in there.
Uh-huh. And voting for J&L, what did that mean?
Well, you were safe in your job.
I mean, what party would you vote for then?
Well, like the district attorney here. And
they had Democrats, they had Republicans.
J&L had both?
No, J&L had just one.
Oh,
strictly Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did anyone ever go out to vote who wasn't qualified, like who wasn't old enough or wasn't a citizen?
Not that I know of.
There may be some cases probably did happen, you know. I don't think J&L would get that low.
They had an inspector and judge of elections up there always to check on them. No, nothing like that went on that I know of.
No.
And I was a committee man up there one year, but I never seen anything like that. I did say a mistake was made. It wasn't the fellow went in instead of getting a Democratic ballot, the clerk made a mistake and gave him a Republican. Which he should recognize himself, because if I'm voting, I know who I'm going to vote for. I see right away the man.
Mm-hmm.
I go back and I got the wrong ballot, but he didn't do that. And he voted on, and then he started hollering about it. He didn't holler. One of them workers up there hollered. Did they put on some crook stuff? But it wasn't intentionally. I know personally it wasn't intentionally. So I told him, I says, That's his fault. I said, he should have corrected that himself. He seen he had the wrong ballot. He should have took it back in again. I said, not vote on it, put it in the box. And I said, nobody can open that box now. I said, unless he wants to get in big trouble.
No, once that ball dropped in that box, he couldn't open it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he even called West Aliquippa Klein. Klein was the...
Yeah.
He'd come up there, what's the matter? I said, nothing. The man made a mistake. I said, this guy heard about it and he's raving about it now. I said, that ballot's in the box. I said, nobody can touch it.
I'm going to stop the tape right now then.